Thursday, Yeheyas.
Sonny, I understand you're kicking off with Brazil's World Cup preparations.
Yeheyas, we're now exactly 3 weeks until the kickoff of the World Cup football tournament, and questions and uncertainty linger about the readiness of host country Brazil. The opening match will be played June 12th, when Brazil will host Croatia in Sao Paulo. World football's governing body FIFA and local organizers have postponed the final test event at the troubled Sao Paulo stadium because of concerns from local authorities. A Brazilian league match was scheduled for 1 week from today, May 29th, but it's been moved back 3 days to the following Sunday to keep the game from disrupting what's described as Sao Paulo's operational routine on a working day. FIFA says it's also decided to reschedule the match to a weekend to ensure it attracts more than 50,000 fans needed to properly test the stadium. The Arena de Sao Paulo has long been behind its construction schedule. Another Brazilian club match took place Monday in front of a crowd estimated at 40,000. None of the 28,000 temporary seats were used, and FIFA is insisting another test match must be staged using them. There are also concerns about whether the local transport system can handle the extra fans heading to the Sao Paulo Stadium on a weekday. Those concerns took on extra weight Wednesday when Sao Paulo was brought to a virtual standstill by a second day of strikes by local bus drivers. Meanwhile, in Brasilia, which will host 7 World Cup games, including the third place match July 12th, police held a 24-hour strike and demonstrated in the streets. The police are calling for salary and bonus adjustments, new safety measures and meal tickets, as well as other issues. They've warned they could go on strike again during the World Cup if their demands are not met. Let's just say right now, World Cup fans, it doesn't seem like they're dancing the samba in Brazil.
I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin. We got the game.
Game on, sports fans. African football fans are looking forward to another big weekend of action in the CAF Champions League, the continent's premier club competition. Our African football guru, David Legg, will break down the matches for us. But first, David gives us the most recent round of results, kicking off with a match in the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
In Kinshasa, at the same stadium where sadly 15 people lost their lives in a stampede after police fired tear gas, some cheerful news for the supporters of Vita Club of the Democratic Republic of Congo. They beat Zamalek of Egypt 2-1 in a Group A Match Day 1 game. The other Group A Match Day 1 fixture Al Hilal of Sudan 1, TP Mazembe of DR Congo 0. So the log, Sonny, at this very early stage, has Vita and Hilal with 3 points each, and Zamalek and Mazembe, who I believe are the favourites to qualify from this group. Okay, they played their first matches away, but nevertheless, they're joint bottom with 0 points each. And then if we move on to Group B, CS Faxing of Tunisia 3, and then the Giant Killers from Libya, Al Ahli Benghazi 1. So a good win there for the Tunisians. But just as the DR Congo clubs won and one lost, it was the same situation, Sonny, in Group B. And really the shock of the weekend. This is the result from Tunis. Esperance of Tunisia 1, Entente Setif of Algeria 2. I would have lost my house on this one. Previous to this match, Esperance had played 35 group matches. They'd won 26 and they'd drawn 8 and they lost just one. They lost to Zamalek in 2005. Now, with a record like that against Setif, who are making only their second appearance in the group stage and really have never set the world on fire outside of Algeria. But then football, as we always say, is a very funny game. If every result went exactly as we predicted it, how boring the game would be. And the Algerians clearly had not seen the script which suggested that Esperance were going to win. They scored after 24 minutes to Nagy, and then Bellamiri, after 48 minutes, made it 2-0. And at this stage, the Tunisian crowd were absolutely silent in the giant Stade Olympique in Tunis. Mirsi reduced their arrears after 53 minutes. So that basically left Esperance, known African-wide as the blood and gold, with just short of 40 minutes to get a couple of more goals and certainly get at least one goal and get a draw. But they just weren't able to do it, Sonny. And the Algerians continued to threaten with their swift counter-attacks. And lo and behold, the final result, Esperance 1, Entente Setif 2. Some Tunisian commentators have said, don't panic. It was the same situation last year. Esperance lost their first group match and then they won the next five in a row. That is a valid point, Sonny, up to a point. Last year, the defeat by Esperance was away to the Angolans, Recreativo Lobolo. And it's a big difference losing away and losing in their fortress in Tunis. So it's going to be very interesting this coming weekend when Esperance play Al Hilal Benghazi. Now, that's a home match for the Libyans, but sadly, because of the security situation in the country, that match has been switched to Omdurman in the Sudan. But dare I say it, Sonny, if Esperance were to lose again, they would be in serious danger of missing the semi-finals. And remember, not only were they expected to win Group A, but they're also the favourites to win the competition. On the other hand, there was some joy for the Tunisians with a good win by Sfaxien over the Benghazians. The Tunisians took an early lead, but conceded an own goal, but regained the lead before halftime and then scored a late clinching third goal. Perhaps the biggest surprise in this match is that Ben Youssef, who's been scoring at the rate of a goal a game, he failed to score. So just to summarize the situation in Group B, Sonny, Sfaxien on top with 3 points. Setif second with 3 points, Sfaxien first because of goal difference. And then you've got Esperance third and Benghazi fourth. And the fixture this coming weekend, on Saturday, it's Benghazi at home to Esperance, but in the Sudan. And on Sunday, a top-of-the-table clash that probably we didn't expect so early in the competition, Setif against Sfaxien in Algeria. If we switch to Group A, going more with form, Sonny, I know Zamalek were unbeaten in their previous six matches and had not conceded a goal, but nevertheless, going to Kinshasa is always an extremely difficult journey for any team in Africa. Now, Mubele, who'd already scored 4 goals, he scored for Vita after 19 minutes. Zakaria equalised with 14 minutes left, and the Egyptians were probably at that stage thinking, well, at least we're going to get a point out of this match. But then another Congolese goal on 18 minutes gave Vita that precious 3 points at home and cheered up the club and the supporters after the tragic events, 15 people dying and scores injured. In Khartoum, Al Hilal scored early in the second half to beat TP Mazembe 1-0. And again, quite a logical result, Sonny, if you look at the form guide. Hilal at home have now won 10 out of 13 matches and drawn 2. So they're a very formidable force at home. Now Hilal traveled to Zamalek, a Zamalek side desperate for points. And while Hilal are very strong at home, they tend to be suspect travelers. And then the big one, Mazembe against Vita. Now, this is a repeat of the match where, sadly, we had the stampede and those deaths. I presume there's going to be a crowd restriction on this match in Lubumbashi. But again, Mazembe in the same position as Zamalek, desperate for points, desperate to get back on level terms after their first round defeat.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association playoff action Wednesday night, the San Antonio Spurs trounced the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder 112-77. To take a 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals. Game 3 will be played Sunday night in Oklahoma City. French star Tony Parker tallied a game-high 22 points for the Spurs Wednesday night, while teammate Danny Green added 21 points. Green was on fire with his long-distance shooting. His 21 points came off of 7 three-point shots. The Spurs are looking for another trip to the NBA Finals. Our VOA basketball fans will remember, last year San Antonio lost a hard-fought 7-game series to the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. Miami is currently tied with the Indiana Pacers at 1 game each in the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 3 in that series is Saturday in Miami, Florida. We could be looking at another rematch between Miami and San Antonio in the NBA Finals. I'm VOA.